precious old hymn Brenda's just played for us. And how we need just to be reminded of that in the times we're in. Especially this last verse. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for His own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules, He reigns upon His throne. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Amen. Folks, our faith in the Lord is what's so precious in these days. We welcome you to the service this morning. We thank you for joining with us. We appreciate Wes coming to tape and Leonard and Kathy and Brenda for our special music. We know that you're going to be blessed as you listen to that music and as you join with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for the way that you minister to us and you meet our needs. And thank you that we can have faith in you because you do not fail. Help us to understand all about faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We're going to do a song together, believe it or not. You're at home and I'm here. And we're going to do a song together this morning, and I'm going to read you the chorus, and it's fine for these troubling times that we're in. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Brenda. And certain days because he lives. Sing with me. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that up to date on a few announcements this morning. First, we will continue to do our weekly webcast services each week until such time as we can all be together again as normal. And then also our quarterly conference will be held when we begin meeting regularly. Number three, I want to remember that our week of prayer had to be canceled. Our special week of prayer had to be canceled. We can still pray. We invite each of you to join us in a time of prayer at home this Wednesday, April the 22nd at 7 p.m. Pray alone or with your family. Thomasville Children's Home Spring Food Drive had to be canceled, and they're asking for our help. We ask that you would consider giving an offering to the Thomasville Children's Home Food Drive and also mark it for the Spring Food Drive as you send your prayer. You can send this offering into the church with your normal tithing with a separate check. Our prayer list that we have here, we'll go over shortly, but our prayer list, we're going to be asking your help to in order to keep the prayer list updated. We're going to ask that each of you, as you have a special need of prayer, that you call your deacon, and your deacon will be responsible to call me or the pastor, and we will then have this prayer list ready for our next service. So if you'll do that, I think we can keep our prayer list going, and we will have a list today as well. We believe in prayer. We always have, always will. We believe it's an important time of our service, and I have a few people today that I want to lift up. I want you all to lift up in prayer. We need to continue praying for Francis Pope's grandson, her surgery was successful. But it was a brain tumor, and it was cancerous. But I understand now he'll be going to St. Jude's for further treatment. A great hospital. He'll be in great care. Let's continue to pray for Janice Good. Let's pray for Marvin Henson. Marvin Henson is Jeanette's brother-in-law. And again, I would remind you again, in order for us to keep an up-to-date prayer list, look at your website. Look at the website. You'll see a complete list of all those right now who are on our prayer list. And we'll be adding each Sunday, as I said in my announcements a while ago, as the deacons formulate the plan and list, they'll give it to us and we'll get it there for you. So let's keep remembering our people in prayer. Let's remember our nation. Our nation is, oh my, I have never seen anything like it, nor have you. But I do believe that prayer changes things. I believe these things too shall pass. And I believe we will be stronger on the other side. Let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I have so much to ask you for, but before I do, I want to thank you. Thank you for those, Lord, who are with us, and thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for those who have donated their time today. We thank you for West. We thank you for Kathy. We thank you for Brenda and our pastor. We're here, Lord, to make sure, Lord, that your name is mentioned and your word is preached and prayer is prayed. And Lord, I'm now lifting up our church to you. I'm praying, Lord, now for strength. I'm praying for health. And I'm praying for guidance. Then, Lord, as we have mentioned those already today in prayer, we want to lift up Francis Pope's great-grandson. We pray for Janice Good, Marvin Henson. And again, we pray for our nation. Pray for our president, our leaders, our governors. They have their hands full. But, Lord, you're bigger than any problem that we have. Now, Lord, I pray for this service that we're about to do and we're in process of doing. I pray for our pastor, Lord, and we thank you so much for him and his guidance. We pray for him, and we lift him up to you today special as we go forward. And, Lord, these blessings, I'll be very careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen.
sin, and now I'm clean. The cross he bore, bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life. Of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's son would die to save a wretch like me? What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed, but I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's son would die to save a wretch like me, like me? What love divine, he gave his life for mine. Again,
we want to say thank you to Leonard and Kathy and Brenda for our special music. It's such a blessing. We just appreciate them coming to be a part of the service. A few moments ago when Leonard was making the announcements, he mentioned a special need at the Baptist Children's Home. I was talking personally with one of my friends that works there, and he told me a couple of things. One, that the number of kids that they have is increasing because some of the parents that have lost their jobs and can't afford to feed their kids are just bringing extra kids. And secondly, that because the kids are not eating breakfast and lunch at school, then the children's home's having to feed them three times a day instead of once. So I can remember when my son was a teenager, he could clean out a refrigerator in a hurry. So that's the reason that we're emphasizing at this point. If you have a little extra money that you'd like to share, or if the Lord lays it upon your heart to make a sacrificial gift, just send it with your regular tithes and offerings and just mark on it Baptist Children's Home food drive, and we'll be sending it on just as quickly as we get it. Appreciate you doing that. It's amazing what you can learn just by reading and studying the scriptures. And you may want to get a pencil, piece of paper or something, and just write the scriptures down that I refer to, because perhaps you'll want to go back and study what I'm going to share with you at some other time. Now, suppose I had a secret stash of money, and every time somebody walked the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, was baptized, I took them over in the corner and said, "Now listen, I'm going to give you $1,000 as a new believer." Well, depending upon that person's level of responsibility and maturity, I can think of three things that different ones would do. Now, one person might think to himself, "Well, I don't need that money right now, but I might in the future, so I'm going to take it home and put it in a sock drawer." And at some future time when he had a need, he would pull that $1,000 out, and it might or might not meet the need, but at least he would have that much. Another person might take that $1,000 and just fritter it away. Before you know it, he'd be broke, and all he'd have left would be the envelope that the $1,000 came in. Now, the third person might take that $1,000 and say, "I believe I'll invest it in some way that will make money, and over the years it would grow, and he could pull it out and meet needs, and it would still grow." Well, that's exactly what the Bible teaches about our faith. Our faith starts at a level and then grows. Look with me first in Romans chapter 12. And we'll look at a verse that we may just read over sometimes and not even realize what it's saying. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now think about that for a moment. He first says, "to every man that's among you," so that means he's talking to these believers. He's not talking to lost folks, unsaved folks. He's talking to believers in Jesus Christ. He's talking to those that were among those believers. And then he says, "God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." It doesn't say he's dealt to some people one measure and some folks more. Everybody starting out gets the same measure of faith. All believers, we all start out the same. You think about those folks in the New Testament, Peter and James and John and the Apostle Paul. They started out at the same level. You think about people in later days like John Wesley and Charles Finney and George Whitefield. And then some others in a more modern time like Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts. All started at the same level. All started at the same level. Now, some of them went on to make great men of God, and there were women as well, great men and women of God who did miraculous things as the power of God flowed through them through faith. We all start at the same level. Does that surprise you? I think a lot of Christians feel like God looked down from heaven and he saw Paul and he zapped him 100 times with his faith gun. And he just zapped us once or twice. And that Paul had so much more faith because God just arbitrarily chose to give Paul more faith. That's not what the Bible's saying. It says we all started at the same level. God didn't, the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. So if Paul picked, so if God picked Paul out and gave him 100 times more faith than I have, then God becomes a respecter of persons. And if God's no respecter of persons, then we all start at the same level. Now let's look at some people in the Bible, and we'll find some very interesting things. We'll start with Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And over near the end of that chapter, it's when Jesus and the disciples were in the boat, and they were starting across the Sea of Galilee, and there came a great storm. Now the storm wasn't worrying Jesus because he's asleep in the boat. You can imagine the roar of the wind and the waves and the panic cries of the disciples, and Jesus just slept right on. And suddenly they go wake him up and they cry out, "Lord, we're going to die." Verse 38, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They were scared, afraid. Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind, said, "Peace be still," and a calm came. And then look in verse 40 at what Jesus says about these guys. "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have" what? "No faith." On the yardstick of faith, they measured zero. They measured zero. He said, "You have no faith." Now that's tough whenever the Lord looks at you and measures your level of faith and just says, "You don't have any. You're down at zero." All right, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And near the end of chapter 6, Jesus begins to talk about people that are concerned about what they've got to wear and what they've got to eat. And I guess if he was teaching it today, he'd say how much toilet paper they have in the closet at the house. And in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 6, he says this, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" These folks had a little bit of faith. They were worried and they were fretting and they had a little bit of faith, but not much. I'll flip over a couple of more chapters to Matthew chapter 8. And it's a story of the centurion who comes to Jesus and asked about a servant being healed. Jesus says to him, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion says, "Lord, you don't need to come. All you've got to do is say the word." And then verse 10 of Matthew 8, Jesus said, "He marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now here's a man with great faith. Now think about that. One group had no faith. One group had little faith. Here's a man with great faith. He had great faith because he put his faith and his trust totally in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the word that Jesus spoke. He was totally in agreement with Jesus. Now, where do you and I fit in that group? No faith, little faith, great faith? Faith is so important. Faith is so important. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll see how important faith is. And verse 16. Ephesians 6:16, and Paul writing, and that's the passage about putting on the whole armor of God. And then in verse 16 he says, above all, most importantly, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, which will enable you to stop, quench, put out the fire of the enemy's arrows. It's not a question of whether or not the devil's going to shoot at us. All through life, it may be a marital breakup. It may be death of a spouse. It may be a serious sickness. Maybe a job loss. The devil is shooting darts and arrows at us all the time. Right now, it's the coronavirus. Reckon I'll get it. The devil's telling a lot of folks, you're going to get it. And he's telling some, when you get it, you're going to die. Or some of your relatives are going to get it. Or did that person that sneezed on the other side of the Walmart parking lot give it to me? All kinds of darts the devil is shooting at us, trying to make us live in fear. And Paul says it's the shield of faith that's our protection. Now the thought that comes to my mind is, how big's our shield? The size of a quarter? A saucer? A dinner plate? Trash can lid? Or is our shield of faith big enough that we can hide behind it? And when we're being assaulted by the devil, we can live in peace. How big is our shield of faith? Flip on over to Hebrews, and we'll see another very interesting verse. Hebrews 11, and again it's verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now this is in that faith chapter, and he says, faith makes it possible for us to please God. God wants us to see us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, to live in faith. And God smiles and looks with favor upon us as we live in faith. We please God with our faith. Now let's go over to 2 Thessalonians, and this verse here that's got some very good news in it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul's writing to these Christians in Thessalonica. And in verse 3, he says of chapter 1, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or as is appropriate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Look at that. Paul writes and he commends, praises these folks in Thessalonica by saying, your faith is growing exceedingly. You started out with that measure of faith, but it's growing. It's getting bigger. Now, that's fantastic. Here was a group of believers who were developing their faith. It was making a difference in their life. Now, see, that's encouraging, because if they could, we can. If they could, we can. We may start out with no faith, have a little faith, grow to a great faith. It's up to us. Now, it'd be nice if God would just zap us all and give us all that great faith, but unfortunately, there is a responsibility that we have to grow in our faith. And we have to take our own responsibility for it. There are people that try to live off of mama's faith, or daddy's faith, or the preacher's faith. There are people that fritter away their faith that God has given them, and as the years go by, they have less and less faith. There are people whose faith do not grow, and yet there are other folks whose faith starts with that measure of faith, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. Well, what's the fertilizer that makes our faith grow? What's the fertilizer? We know if we're going to garden, we've got to have fertilizer. Well, what's the fertilizer that makes our faith grow? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul tells us what makes our faith grow. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's hearing God's word that makes our faith grow. Now, as a preacher, pastor, I know that there's a lot of folks that have heard a lot of gospel, and as the old saying goes, it went in one ear and out the other. You remember Jesus told the parable of the sower who goes out and he sows seed and some fell on hard soil. The birds took it and he said, that's the devil just taking it away because their hearts were too hard to hear the word. Others fell on soil that had no root. Others fell on soil that was choked out by the weeds. And then others fell on good ground. And it's marvelous how we can preach the word of God and some folks in the congregation get it and they grow. We grow at our own rate and our own pace. And it's sad that sometimes you preach and that some folks in that same congregation never get it. And there's some that get it in a sense and get really excited, but just like in the parable of the sower, other things choke it out, and before long, their faith is gone. Back to where they were at the beginning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, to really hear something is to get it down inside of us and act on it. I could get up and say, I've heard that down at such a bank, they're giving away $1,000 bills. And somebody that really heard me and believed that I knew what I was talking about, they're going to be in line down there to get their $1,000 bill. Now, others that would heard it say, oh, he didn't know what he's talking about, or I don't believe him. They're going to miss out. Faith comes by really hearing. Now, natural fertilizer doesn't do a bit of good left in the bag. That old, 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 old song, dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word, is still true today. There are folks that never, never listen, read, study the Word of God. And their faith shield when the troubles of the world come is like that quarter or that saucer. And those fiery darts from the devil hit their target far too many times. There are folks that seldom, if ever, darken the doors of a church. And when you compound not studying the Bible at home and seldom, if ever, going to church to hear the Word of God preached and taught, faith just does not grow. Fertilizer in the bag doesn't do a bit of good. And you may own Bibles in 20 different translations, but if you never open them, it doesn't do you a bit of good. Fertilizer can also be spoiled. I don't know whether the bags are different now. I buy a little bit for the flower beds, but not a lot. But I can remember back when we farmed, sometimes there'd be some bags left over, and the dampness over the winter would cause them just to get hard as a rock. A few times I remember something spilled on the bag and ruined the fertilizer. Well, the Word of God, to do us any good, has got to be a clear, pure Word of God. And sometimes we need to be careful about the people we hang around with. They can pollute our faith. They can dilute our faith. They can mess up our faith. We need to be careful about which preachers and teachers we listen to. Some of them are real men and women of God, and they preach a good word. But it's quite obvious from what we see today that a lot of people have departed from the Word of God and still stand behind pulpits. Now, no preacher's perfect. I joke and say it's amazing what I've learned since I knew it all. And I think as the years have gone by, I've learned more and more. And I think I preach a different, in a different way than I did 50 years ago. But it's important that we listen and study a clear gospel. I think it's interesting. In the book of Acts, we read about a group that Paul went and preached to, and it says they were more noble than such other group because they searched the scriptures for themselves to see if it was true. In other words, they didn't just come in and soak up everything Paul said without looking back in the scripture to see if it was true. And if people would just spend some time in God's Word, reading it, studying it, compare Scripture to Scripture, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts, it's amazing how we could grow and develop our faith. For our faith to grow, we've got to believe the Word of God. But in order to believe it, we've got to know it. We can get to heaven with a little faith or a weak faith. But if we're going to survive and thrive and be a blessing in our world today, we're going to need some great faith. Each one of us starts with the measure. And I don't know how much. The Bible doesn't tell us how big the measure is. But that's where we start. And then we go from there, up or down, depending on what we do. Now, the Holy Spirit is so great that He gave us His Word. He had Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and all of the others to put it together for us. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and becomes our teacher of that word. But it's up to us. It's up to us. It's how diligently we're going to be in growing our faith from that word. In trying times like we're in right now, we need great faith. Amen. We really need great faith. And we can have it. I'm glad God doesn't play favorites. And I'd have to walk around saying, well, I sure wish I had as much faith as so-and-so and so-and-so, but God just didn't give it to me. I've got the same Bible they got. I heard a fellow that got saved at about, you know, he was in his 20s. He said he didn't know any Bible. He didn't know anything much. I don't think he ever did go to seminary or any Bible school. But he said he got in his bedroom, the spare bedroom, with one of those old reel-to-reel tape players. And he listened 4, 5, 6, sometimes 15, 16 hours a day to teaching from the Word of God. And sometimes said he, you know, you could stop those things and rewind them, and he'd stop it and he'd rewind it and he'd stop it and he'd rewind it. And he's one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. But you see, he was diligently, and he walks in faith. Diligently to walk in faith. I don't know how big your faith is today as you listen to me. Thank the Lord he gave you some. But thank the Lord he enables you to help it to grow. And I encourage you, pick up your Bible, begin to read it and study it. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. When people come to you with doubts, try to get you not to believe this, that, or the other, just say, thus saith the Lord. Hey, after all, that's the way Jesus dealt with the devil in that initial temptation. Satan comes and says, do this. And Jesus said, no, that's not what the Bible says. Well, how about doing this? No, that's not what God's word says. Well, how about doing this? No, that's not what God's word said. God's word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Folks, God's word, rightly divided, will build your faith. And that's what we need. Today, as you listen to me, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. You just need to simply acknowledge, I'm lost, I need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. And pray a prayer something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you were buried. I believe that you rose again. And I receive you now as my personal Lord and Savior. I invite you to come and live in my heart. And I thank you for doing that. If you made that decision, if you prayed that prayer, would you give somebody a call here at Barbie's Grove or some other godly pastor, some Christian friend? They'll rejoice with you. If you have other needs, we invite you to call us. God is on the throne. He is on the throne. And those of us who believe in Him can walk in victory. Father, as we bow before You today, thank You for this time in Your Word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will take what I've tried to share, illuminate our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Lord, may our faith grow. And Father, I know faith is more than a concept. It's a relationship with Jesus. May our confidence in Jesus grow and grow and grow, so that when Satan comes with his fiery darts, we can stand secure, stand safe. And Father, that when the trumpet blows and Jesus returns, we'll be ready to greet Him with open arms and to hear His, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Thank You, Father, for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King. In His name we pray. Amen.